Good morning, Saints. It's good to be with you again. I trust all you gentlemen who are fathers had a great Father's Day, and I know many of you serve not only as physical fathers, but as spiritual fathers, and I want to thank you for setting an example to the many young men who need such. Mentoring is something that I think is very important that we need to really, as a Christian community, be doing more of. We're going to be in our second session today on the rest of faith, talking about His rest for us. Let's pray before we get started this morning. Father, we thank You that You love us so much that You've given us eternal life. You brought us to Yourself. And we thank You that in You there is a rest that we can attain to. So today, Holy Spirit, I ask You to reveal much, much more to each person under the sound of my voice and to me also concerning this rest. I thank You that we will hear what You say. You teach us, You alone, and we will be changed. Thank You, Father, for allowing us to participate with You in Your rest. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to be talking today about an invitation to His rest. But before we get into that, let's review as we normally do. Maybe a little shorter today, but that's okay. We talked last week about fighting, standing, or sitting. And I'm sure you, like me, have found many occasions where things come against you, even in good times where things come against you. And that shouldn't surprise us because the devil just wants to throw everything he can at us to trip us up and take us out of this good life that the Lord has brought us into with Himself, this union that we have with Him. And there are times where I told you, I don't know whether I should be fighting or standing or going back to the beginning and just sitting. And last week, we looked at each one of those postures, fighting that good fight of faith, standing in faith, resisting the devil, believe, continuing to believe. And then there was sitting. Some people will say that those are all three. I think the order is probably a little different. I think we need to be sit. And then this walk of faith that we're in, the fight, and then standing. And that really lines up with a book I told you about with Watchman Nee. And I know several of you have gone and listened to it or on YouTube or found it and ordered it and have been blessed by it. So I trust that others will have that same opportunity. But all of these are very valid. And then someone will come along if we haven't received and say, well, man, you just got to rest. And I must confess, as I did last week, that for a long time I wasn't sure at all what that entailed. And I've learned even more about it in preparation for this study. So I'm thankful that the Lord has asked me to do it. But again, which one of those should we be doing? Well, in our walk of faith, we're going to do all three of those. But hopefully we're going to do each one in rest. And when we are fighting and standing and sometimes we go back and start over in the sit, I see us getting frustrated when the answers that we're looking for don't come. It's like we get overwhelmed. The devil just puts so much on us. Or either we start questioning the Lord. Many times we get ashamed because we say, I must not have enough faith. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. So we went back and looked at 1 Timothy chapter 6, Ephesians 6, and Ephesians 2, and looked at those three postures. And we saw and learned that they're all valid. We talked about how to do each one effectively. And really, though, we realized that in going through each of those, many times, as we do, that there's still something more that we're missing that seems to be the delay. And I'm convinced that that is dealing with this rest. The sad part to me is that so many people, and I'm talking about believers here, see this as a fight just to get into heaven. And so they miss out on so many of the blessings that the Lord has for us and desires to give to us. I cannot get over that posture of favor that we talked about in our previous study, where He is bending over as a greater to a lesser, reaching down with His hands open to bestow good upon us. And we know that 2 Corinthians 1:20 talks about the promises that are in him are yes and amen, and that he wants to give us above and beyond what we see, but we don't see those immediate results. And so again, I'm convinced it's because we don't understand how we should enter into that rest that we should experience in each one of these postures. Rest I talked about last week, looking at the children of Israel, because Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that the Scriptures in the Old Covenant were given to you and I as examples. And so we looked at them, and what did we see? They were not able to enter into his rest, which he likened to Canaan land. But it's really so much more than that, and we'll get into the details of that, I believe, next week. But they were unable to enter in because of their unbelief. And that unbelief led to hardness of heart, and then the bitterness came, all types of negative emotions. And it just impaired their soul to the point that they had no hope. They lost all hope. And as a result, what happened? They all were going to die in the wilderness. So as we looked at them in Hebrews, I also mentioned to you that we saw how they needed to be able to encourage one another. That was one of the phrases we looked at. And we talked about a faith buddy. And I know several of you have initiated some prayer concerning it. And I want to tell you, that's exactly the right step, because we just don't go looking for people to be a faith buddy. We ask the Lord, you show me who, because this is a special joining together of the body that is so important. So rest, we really didn't define it. We're going to do that today. But I mentioned two things. It was a contentment. Think about Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to get in, but they did not fret about it at all. They were content with walking to it, to walk through this life, to get to it, because they had confidence in the Lord's words. But what else did they do? They got even more confident every day. And so it also has a connotation, I believe, of having the ability to grow in our faith, to grow in Him. And this is so key. While we're in this rest, regardless of if we're sitting, fighting, or standing. And so that's the image that I want us to begin to get, is a contented life, not just saying we're giving up on everything, but being content where we are, as Paul talks about in Philippians, and yet continuing to grow in Him during this wait. We mentioned that sometimes it seems like we're in the wilderness, but my goodness, wasn't the Lord gracious to the children of Israel during the wilderness? He was with them the whole time. He provided for every need, food, water, even their clothing didn't wear out. And for the children, it had to grow. Shoes increasing in size and never wearing out. So we need to change our view also on the wilderness. Now, today, let's begin to talk about an invitation to his rest. And I want to go ahead and address this that we've touched on in our review here today and go into it in some detail, that where we see that everything doesn't take place and doesn't come to us that we ask immediately. And we saw that this was an issue for the children of Israel. And I would just say it this way. Time tries us. Time tests our faith. And that's just the way it is, because think about what Jesus said, and think about what Scripture said concerning sowing seed. Seed time, harvest. Or say it differently. Seed, time, and then the harvest. And so we must learn how to walk through this, and I believe being at rest is a good way to do it. Think about Jesus and healing. You would say, well, so many were healed instantaneously. Yes, they were. Many were healed, and we don't know if it's instantaneous or not. But Scripture says that some were healed instantly. Some were healed in that self-same hour. And then we know with the 10 lepers, some were healed, what? As they went. And there are numerous other examples as well. So let's go to 3 John 2 just a moment and see this connection between, I believe, rest and healing. In 3 John, the second verse, It says, "Beloved, that I pray in all respects, you may prosper and be in health, be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So that tells us that these values, these things we value, the good health, the prospering, the peace, comes what? After the soul is prospering. It increases, so it's in proportion to the soul prospering. And what do we know? That it takes time for the soul to learn how to prosper. When we're born again, our spirit man's complete. A new, recreated spirit filled with the Holy Spirit. But what? Our soulish realm, and certainly our physical body, aren't changed instantly. We have to get into the Word and cause the mind to be renewed. So it's a journey. And that renewed mind is a key to the prosperous soul, where we see His Word as a reality. Faith. Faith cometh when we see that Word. And so this is why I say we need to grow during this time that we're walking, during these tough times, during this journey that we're on, even through the wilderness. That will keep us from developing a hard heart in any manner. And let me just say, thanksgiving for every step. A thanksgiving before you cross the Red Sea, not just after it, will keep you encouraged in this walk that we're talking about. But the biggest thing is, it'll keep us from having any negative emotions toward the Lord, which impacts our faith, and that's why this rest is so important. I want to read three scriptures out of Hebrews 4. We're going to be going through this entire chapter, but not today. I've picked out three verses 1, 6, and 9, that we were going to read here. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it." Now, that's a really interesting one. Let me just say that this verse shows us clearly that a promise remains of entering His rest for you and I. So it's His will. And that's really the point I want to make at that. But I can't go by this one without saying, notice that it says, "Lest, therefore let us fear that we should seem to have come short of it." This is the only time I know that it talks about fearing the Lord or fearing something concerning Him with a negative connotation. We don't revere this rest. We don't think it's achievable. That's the only thing that I would say we're allowed to fear, is that we will come short of that. And we don't have to, although many do. But what's the key takeaway? A promise remains that He desires for us to enter into His rest. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it," talking about His rest. It goes on, but that's all I want you to see in this verse. Another witness in this verse, so there's two, that we still have this rest that is an opportunity for us, and it is His will for each of us. Now, "some" here literally means in the Greek, any person. So all who will. And then finally in verse 9, it says, "There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." We're going to talk about that Sabbath rest and how it compares to this rest we're talking about. I think that may surprise you some. But here again, there is a rest, and here they specified a Sabbath rest, a rest like God experienced that He desires we enter into it. So let me go now with you to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 28th verse. And we're going to spend pretty much the rest of this session on this verse, or on these three verses. And you say, how in the world? Just wait. These are three, I believe, essential, critical verses for you and I to get down in our hearts. And it concerns this position we can get in of being at rest with Him. Let me just read through it in its entirety in the New American Standard, and we'll come back and we're going to talk about each verse, and then we're going to read several other translations. "Come to me." Let me just say that again as we start. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load or my burden is light. Let me just mention one thing. When this says that my burden is light, this is the same word that is used in Galatians for you. Some of us need to carry our own burden. And even that light burden, what's he saying here? He's saying we're going to get help with it. Oh, glory to God. That just is so encouraging. So in verse 28, two things I want to emphasize, and then we'll read a different translation. Come to me. That is a call. That is the invitation for all of us to do what? What does the last part of that verse say? And I will give you rest. So it's an invitation for us to come to him and enter into his rest. So for you and I, really the first and the main question we have to ask is, do we believe this? Do we believe that he desires for each of us? So make it personal for you, for me, to come to him and enter into that rest. Notice that we don't earn, that he's giving to us. And how do we receive everything in the kingdom? By faith. So you know it's going to involve that. Rest in the Greek. This word for rest in the Greek is anapao. It's a couple of words combined, but here's what it literally means. To repose. So to lay back. It also can figuratively mean, and this is really good, to be exempt. Well, we might say to be exempt from something. And it can also mean to remain in something. So from being exempt, from getting into it, and being exempt from having it taken away from you. It implies to refresh or to be refreshed. Now, I think about with that, the refreshing of the Spirit. It's translated in most of the texts, take ease, refresh, give, or take rest. So very simply, that's what it says. Now listen to what Vine's Expository Dictionary says concerning this word rest. It is not a rest from work, and we'll see that again, but it is a working of all the faculties, bringing ease and refreshment. So it's everything in the kingdom at work for you to bring ease and refreshing. That's the way we need to begin to think about rest. Now, you can see how contentment is a part of that. You can see how being able to grow and increase in your knowledge and increase in other ways is a part of that. Webster today says of this word rest, and I'm going to use some words that give you a connotation versus reading a whole bunch of definitions, but it has a connotation of peace, of ease, and of that word refreshment. Again, each so important. Now let's take a moment and read this in the Amplified, and I've left it in your notes because this gives you, I think, a fuller insight into what is being discussed here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle or meek and humble, lowly, doesn't think more highly of himself, in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Verse 30. My yoke is wholesome, it's useful, it's good. It's not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but it's comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. and my burden is light and easy to be borne. Now, I could say Selah, and I probably should. If you're viewing this, you may just want to stop and reread that. But for time's sake, let's just go on, and it won't hurt my feelings. Of course, I won't ever know, but if you want to stop it and just reread that, this is excellent. You need to reread this again when we're finished. So let's go back to the beginning of 28. Come to me. This is big. This is your invitation. Remember in Revelation, he's standing at the door and knocking, and he's not talking to non-Christians here. He's talking to a church, to folk like you and I. He wants us to be closer to him. Come to me. So how am I going to respond? And he's addressing this to all who labor. Now, this could be, people could construe this to say, well, I'm laboring to get into the kingdom. Well, I can understand that, but I don't think that's all that he's talking about. Labor here literally means to feel fatigue from hard work. So that can apply to those who aren't saved, but it can still apply to those who are saved, because how often have we talked about together in our times, lay down, don't try to do it yourself, let's do it his way. So we're talking about laboring in maybe not even his works, but my works, my ideas, my efforts. And so I would ask the question, what are some things that saps your strength? Well, certainly physical work and labor would. But what I want to say to you is that not all the things that sap your strength pertains to physical things. How about worry, stress, pressure? How about having your mind overloaded or just overwhelmed? How about having the continual beating down of the devil on your head, putting ideas and thoughts in your mind that we're not able to refute effectively, as 2 Corinthians teaches us? And this is why so many people, when they get tired, when their soul is overwhelmed, overcome, they turn to other physical things to try to get refreshing for their soul, like vacations. I love vacations too. TV, sleep, or even some I've seen just try to work harder on different things so that they can forget about it. But can I just tell you here, the only real lasting solution is what? Entering into his rest. He says to us, I will give a gift of grace to us, that rest to relieve, to ease, and to refresh. So we've got to decide, is it possible for me to live a stress-free life? And the only way I believe we can do it is in his rest. Is it possible to be at peace when life appears to be unreasonably hectic and wild? Yes, in his rest. He's saying here that he will give us this rest, just like he tells us in John, I'm going to give you what? My peace. My peace I'm going to give you. And then here's this phrase, not as the world gives. So this says to me, don't look to the world for rest and I could, or for peace. So how important is this to our physical body? Let me just give you a single verse. Proverbs 14, verse 30, and it's really the A part of it. New King James, a sound heart is life to the body. The New American Standard, a tranquil heart is life to the body. The New Living Translation, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Amplified, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. And then the Living, I really like, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. And notice it didn't say a stressed attitude, and it also didn't say a lazy attitude. This is about a spiritual rest, not just inactivity, not just a meditation that takes your mind, tries to take your mind off of everything, but it's a focusing that quiets you on the Word, on our Lord Jesus. And this refreshing that a spiritual rest brings will not only refresh your soul, it will bring strength to your body. That's what the word will do. Let's look now at verse 29. Take my yoke, he says, upon you. So it's something we have to do. A yoke is a symbol of submission as well. And you are going to be submitted one way or the other. If you were one of those cattle and you were yoked together with a more experienced cattle or ox. But this is something we do. And so the question then is, who was Jesus yoked with? Well, he said, I only do what the Father. But we know the Father was in heaven. And so Jesus was yoked, I believe, with the Holy Spirit, the same way we say we're yoked with him by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And so Jesus is saying here, come be joined to the Holy Spirit, to Holy Spirit, to the person of the Holy Spirit, just like I am. And what did a young oxen learn from an experience when they were yoked together? Well, first thing is, they didn't have to do all the work. The bigger, the stronger, the more experienced oxen did it. But they learned, they saw how he does it. And so they learned how to doing it by doing it. And I'm sure they made some mistakes, but they're learning. That's important to us. So what this says to me is, I'm going to show you how to do life, this Zoe life that we've been given. And I'm going to teach you how to do it. But by the way, I'm only going to show you those things are the will of the Father for you, because I'm not going to lead you in a way other than his will. Now, again, it's submission, because we are, when we put this yoke upon him, we're saying, I'm willing to serve you and do those things like you did, as you did them. Not the cross, that's completed, that's ended. But serving other people, being a witness. What did Jesus say? I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. So for you and I, that's all, it says it's not all about me. So take my yoke upon you, and then this next phrase, and learn from me. We're yoked as he is, and he's going to teach us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through the presence that he has in our life, through the fellowship with him. Learn of me. Saints, there is no way for us to mature as a body of Christ, as individuals in this body of Christ, without the Word, without fellowshipping with him in prayer, in listening, in worshiping. It's going to take some effort on our part. It's an effort that we've already been graced to walk into and to do. But that's the part that I believe, and we'll talk about this first here in the next sessions. That's how we labor to enter into that rest. It is not a works by Minton. It is a doing the things that he's instructed us to do. And notice it doesn't say, you get yoked with me and I'm just going to do everything for you. No, we have to learn to do it and receive it ourselves, just like Jesus did. How are we to live life? What does the scripture tell us? The just shall live by faith. So, could I say, the just shall live, or must live, life, Zoe life, the God kind of life. How? By faith, like God does. Isn't that what this scripture said? I'm going to show you how to do it. In doing this, we need to understand that the power that is residing in us, the power that Jesus filling us gives us, is able to lift our humanity in this walk to levels that we've not yet experienced. And it starts with this walking in this life in the Spirit. He says, I'm meek and humble. He didn't say he was weak now. He said he's meek. He's strong. But what is being positioned as a meek and humble person do us? It puts us under this spout of grace for more grace. So there's no self. It's about no pride. It's all about Jesus. And when we do these things, we will find rest for your soul. That's what this verse tells us. Now, in this verse, the word that's used for rest is a derivative of the other one, but it literally means an intermission or a pause. and it implies recreation. Now that just says to me, when I enter into his rest, when I am doing the things that as he did them, when I am learning how to stay in this relationship with him where my soul is at rest, at peace, I'm going to almost see it as recreation. It's going to be the fun thing to do. It's going to bring joy to me. Now, many of us have a lot of voices going on, speaking to us in our head, just getting bombarded. We open ourselves up to that a lot of times by TV, radio, even music we listen to. Our family and friends can do it. But we've got these soundings. But what did that verse say in Amplified? I'm going to bring you into a blessed quiet. I think this is so important. You might say, how do we do it? Well, we're going to look more. But one way I'll encourage you once again is by praying in the Holy Spirit. When you do that, that amplifies the voice of the Holy Spirit. It amplifies it to a point that you recognize it stronger than you hear all these other negative voices coming to you. And just let me say, you need to do it. You need to do it frequently. But it's not a 3-minute exercise. It's going to take some time till you get to a point where you just feel like, and for me, this is how I view it. It's almost like I step into a waterfall and it's just flowing over me. Or a good hot shower on a cold day. Certainly not a day like we've been experiencing here with Georgia with the 100-degree plus weather. Look at verse 30. For my yoke is easy. Now, let me read you the Amplified again. For my yoke is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It's not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but it's comfortable. It's gracious. It's pleasant. Now, the Weymouth says, it is good to bear my yoke. So this is all about what? God, when he showed Moses his glory, showed him what? His goodness. That's all he wants to do is pour out for us his goodness as we do his work. So let me just offer this question or suggestion. We need to take stock of ourselves and really ask and seek the Lord. Am I following your spirit, Lord, in all I do? And if I'm not, teach me how to do it. Because we often add to our lives. And I truly believe all these things that we add to our lives that we think we've just got to do goes back to trying to earn something from the Lord. And that begins to become our motivation versus working from his love that he has followed. The Message translation for this verse, for these three verses, let me read all three, says this: Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I believe that's talking about Zoe life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Let me read that one more time. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And then it concludes by saying, keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Glory to God. Keep company with me. Learn how to live without stress, without pressure, without being overloaded, overwhelmed. And those situations, it's easy for us to find ourselves in, but here we've got an out, and it starts by what? Coming to him. Learning more about him than he's going to show us. So one of the things we need to really resolve is this importance of doing what he said. He's told us we can come to him and here's what we can get. Will we be obedient? Now, again, day to day, life pulls us in a lot of different directions. We said earlier, we try solutions. Mentioned TV, vacations, sleep for many. even mentioned more work. But none of these things, as we've noted, are lasting and good, nor are they necessary. Please note that the Word will provide us strength. It'll fill ourselves. It'll allow ourselves, through the Holy Spirit, to be filled back up and replenished. And this is all part of His rest. We've got scriptures in Hebrews and 1 Peter. It talks about we're kept by His power. In Hebrews, the first chapter, it talks about He upholds or He keeps all things. How? By the word of His power. So again, it's all back to learning about Him, being in fellowship with Him. So let me just urge you, be selective in how you, and I'm saying this to myself too, how I spend my time. Make some time for the Lord. I think it's better if we can do it at a designated time each day, but I realize many schedules don't. But there's not a one of us that can't find some time to spend some time with Him. And if you're worn out, you're going to find that spending that time with Him doesn't wear you out more. It's when those refreshings come. So find your physical space, a place where you can maybe be quiet. Now, those of you with small children or if you're keeping grandchildren, that may be hard to do sometime, but you can find it. Slow down your life. Step back. And I would suggest to you that if you say, well, where do I start? We've just read three verses today. That is a great place to start. And just remind yourselves all through these three verses. The Father is talking to me through Jesus. Jesus is saying, come to me. And they love me just like the Father loves Jesus. Let me end with this one. Psalm 23, 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Does that sound like a blessed, quiet place of peace? He restores my soul. It's in those places that our soul is restored, that our soul is being changed to be like in agreement with our spirit. And then He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And all of these is what? For His name's sake. He restores. He turns back. He puts us back to a starting point. And next week, we're going all the way back to the garden in creation, and you're going to see how that starting point is in a place of rest. I trust today has blessed you. Meditate on these verses, and we'll look forward to picking this up and begin to talk about next week. His rest, a Sabbath rest for you and I.